Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
All right, so we are back sitting here around the table, and today we're going to be looking at James 1 and 2.
Yay!
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement that James is pretty much one of our top
yeah.
books of the Bible that we all enjoy.
Oh, yeah. It's like a definitely very go-to.
Yeah. I was telling Keisha off air, I was like, I feel like James is completely highlighted in my Bible. Like, so many good bits. Like, there's not a lot of unhighlighted words in my Bible in this book.
I agree. I was looking at, when I was just kind of refreshing my brain at lunchtime today, mm-hmm. I just had my phone with me, so my Bible app, and I was like, okay, how many highlights do I have just in here, let alone in my study Bible at home, you know, like, of the things that really stick out to me. And I remember doing a study with my women's group back when I lived in Minnesota on the book of James as well. I think it was by, like, Beth Moore or somebody like that, and or it might have just been, anyway, it doesn't matter, Women of Faith or something like that. But I just remember taking notes and notes and notes and notes, because it just all, and it fits you at different times in life and times of day, things like that. And there's just lots of words to live by. So
I remember just getting so excited about the Bible the first time I studied James.
Yeah.
Like, and I wanted to tell everyone about it.
It feels like it's more practical than, everything is practical technically in the Bible. Mm-hmm. It is, because it's all good for us. But it feels like James was finally one of those books that when I first read it, it spoke to me, Leslie, right?
Yep.
Differently than others had, so.
Definitely more than Chronicles.
Yeah. Or Good old Lamentations.
I was like, this is way more than Judges. Steve bought me a new Bible for Christmas because I wanted the same translation that we use at church for the women's ministry. Because I was like, I feel like if Doug preaches out of the New Living Translation, I should probably run the women's ministry out of the New Living Translation. So he bought me that, and I was looking at them both in James when I was going through it this month. And Steve was like, "You're excited to re-highlight James, aren't you?" I said, a little bit. I get to re-highlight my favorite bits and see what makes the cut this time and what doesn't make the cut.
I love my NLT. It's my favorite version.
It's great. I mean, I love my Christian Standard. That's what I have here, and that's what I use on a normal basis. I didn't realize how nice the NLT was I was being obstinate in church up until after Christmas. I was like, no, I'm not going to it. I have this one. I like it. It works for me. And now I'm like, oh, this one reads so much better.
There's still lots of good. I think the good thing is doing multiple and reading multiple translations mm-hmm. also helps us to glean more of what, because mm-hmm. anyway, there's just always a new word or a new nuance to it that help it speak bigger to us sometimes, or different to us, or littler to us, or whatever it is. So,
Well, I know I've read it at the women's ministry, and even when Doug's reading it at church, when I just would bring my Christian Standard, I'd had people say, is that really what your Bible says? Because that's not what this one says.
Yeah.
Or I'll look at Steve and I'm like, okay, wait a minute. I said, mine doesn't say that. Like, what does yours say? Or mine says this. And like, it was like, wait a minute. And even the Christian Standard, sometimes the paragraphs aren't the same as far as like the headings on it aren't. Sometimes they weren't broken up. So when we're trying to do a everybody read around the room going through the chapters, I'm all like, yeah, we'll stop here. And they're like, that's not where it stops in this Bible. And I'm like, well, crap. All right. So James is the English translation of his name. Obviously, we use it. That makes more sense. Hebrew was Yaakov. I'm probably killing that.
It sounded good to me.
And Lakobos was Greek. So, but basically the ancient and modern translations is his name is Jacob. So it was never James. And he is thought of and, you know, widely accepted to be the half-brother of Jesus. He was not a disciple while Jesus was alive. He became a follower after Jesus appeared to him after his resurrection. He ran the first church of the Messianic Jews, which were Christians. The book has, you know, just kind of five main topics. James lays it out. I love him. But it's trials, faith, works, the tongue, wisdom, and wealth. That's kind of everything that he touches on, you know, throughout everything. Just going a little bit more, it says that he was most likely the first New Testament letter that was actually written. So,
They think he died in like 60, 62 AD, something like that. So, I think I read that they think it was written in like 40s, mid 40s. Mm. So, that would only be like, 10, 15 years after Jesus died?
Yeah.
And resurrection, right, of course.
Let's not forget the important bit, okay?
Oh, that's good news is I think we all knew what you were talking about.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. We were picking it up. No worries. I know that, and I had it written down and I can't find it, but I know I talked about it before or I've mentioned it before, but the reason James is named James is because King James wanted his name in the Bible.
Oh, really?
So when King James made the King James Bible, he wanted to make sure he was represented. So he changed Jacob into James so that way his name was actually listed. And I'm like, I don't blame him. I really like this book of the Bible too. I'd like it to be named Elizabeth. That'd be great.
So you can do a translation and name it Elizabeth. Right. See how that goes down.
You're right. Yeah. I just feel like that's 100% blasphemous. I feel like the Lord probably had a conversation with King James regardless. I don't know his walk with the Lord. I don't know where he ended up, but I'm saying the Lord probably had a conversation with him.
Well, history goes.
He's like, welcome to heaven. Let's talk.
Yeah. I see that you changed my brother's name. Just wanting to throw it out there.
But at least he kept it in the J factor, you know.
Right.
That's true.
It's probably, I mean, to be fair, it's the only, is it, that's the only J in the New Testament. He can't change Jonah to James. He probably didn't want to be.
Well, there's John.
Oh, you're right. Jeez, oh, Pete's. It's Monday. It's been a long day already.
I was agreeing with you. I was like, yeah, it's the only J. Oh, yeah, John.
And I'm like looking at it going, am I right? Am I right? I'm going to say this and I know I'm not going to be
John,
right.
John 1. Okay. John 2.
You got four choices for John, so it's okay.
Yeah, there's just a few books that John wrote, just a couple.
So back to James.
Yeah. See, we like to keep it real while we're here. This is real life.
No other way to be, people.
Nope.
No other way to be.
Exhausting to be anything else but real.
Preach it, sister.
But basically, he wrote this as, you know, he was writing to the very first Christians, primarily the Jewish Christians who just recently had converted. You know, he uses the language that would be familiar to the first century Jews, though it might not be as familiar to us. When we go through and we read it, he addresses them as the 12 tribes in the dispersion. He's referring to the 12 sons of Jacob, obviously the tribes of Israel who formed the nation. And the dispersion just refers to the Jewish people who remain scattered outside of the land of Israel in exile. So if we want, Leslie, do you want to read the first James 1?
I'll skip that first verse since we just talked about that and start with verse 2.
Yep.
Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade with all of their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God has never tempted you to do wrong. And he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Oh, sorry. No. I was almost done. Okay. How about we do the listening and doing part? Okay. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion is in the sight of God the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. There you go.
I just always feel like James had every mic drop moment possible. And when he's writing, he's pilot center going, boom. Like, he's like, take that.
Literally. Because everything is like, okay, if you think that, you're wrong. Do this.
Yeah.
If you do this, do that. If you think that, think, no, you're, no. Focus on God. Focus on God. Did I mention focus on God? Did I mention that it's God who's in control? Like, I mean, it's like your mom saying to you over and over again, do you remember that I told you what to do 700 times and that the one time you did listen, it actually worked out? Oh, yep. Okay.
Oh, weird. Weird how that works. Look what happens when you listen to me.
Yeah.
No, I like that you think about, I say this verse a lot in my head. And again, James is probably the one I can actually quote the most in my head. You know, I have a lot written down all over the place. We're getting things to put, you know, get like little cork board to be able to start pinning, you know, verses up that we've written or that we want to make sure stay in the forefront of our heads. But, you know, one of the hardest things is, I mean, verse two, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you experience various trials, because it's, and then three, you know, because the testing of your faith produces endurance. And I'm like, whew.
Yeah,
you're right.
I love that. For me, it references back to Hebrews, just a couple chapters in Hebrews, like 12, about endurance and running the race, and you know, and putting your faith forward and things like that. And that's also what I appreciate, is the reference back to things we've just talked about, or we just studied, or we just think about. And
yes.
So.
Yeah, I love that, because endurance. It depends on, again, it depends on the translation, just like we were talking about earlier, because mine says endurance, but I know others have said steadfast.
Yeah.
You know, and then there's patience, and which perseverance, you know, it's just keeping on, you know, doing what you know you're supposed to be doing.
Well, it's that, it's that incentive to keep going no matter what the trial or the temptation. And yes, the temptation is not from God. It is strictly from the world and Satan and sin and the world. I mean, how many things can try to tempt us, right?
Yep.
But it's to keep going and keep going.
Yes.
And you know,
because I like that it reminds us that we just have to, he never changes. Mm-hmm. So that reminds us to keep going because he never changes. So.
Yeah. And it makes you think, you know, you know, some people want to say, oh, once you become a Christian, everything's cushy. It's not. It makes it harder, you know, because we're Christians. You know, the world comes at us. Satan comes at us. And we just have to stay steadfast. And, you know, it's a good thing to, especially when you have people who you see going through trials, just say, hey, just keep running the race. Just keep going.
Yep. Yep. Very much. My favorite verses in this chapter, other than like the one you said with the endurance and even that opportunity for great joy, you know, is verse 19. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Oh, what?
I know. Exactly.
Come on. Okay. You know, it's just that it's a reminder that, slowing your reactions and listening to God and even to the person that you're having that interaction with can help you to get through whatever the situation is. And I just, that one is, I add that to the list of the scriptures we sent you. That one.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah, that's one that I need to repeat to myself over and over and over and over and over.
Yes.
Especially in certain times with my husband.
Or children, I'm sure.
Our children. Yes.
I was going, kids.
Yes.
Kids. Like, kids can get me to that level faster than Stephen can of anger. He's got his moments, don't get me wrong, but my kids get me there a lot more often. Especially during the Snowmageddon that was going on here. We were all stuck inside. It's like, go outside and sled. I don't care if your fingers are falling off. Go outside.
Just go.
Frostbite is not in the Bible. It's illegal.
Okay. Listen, I grew up in Michigan. This is not cold. You know?
It's like, if you want to watch Paw Patrol for the 100th time, okay, just leave me alone.
Just stop talking to me. It is. That slowed it. That's something, you know, it's almost innate. You get to that point where and I've texted Steve, like, listen, I'm just be nice to me when you get home, because I'm going to go from not even boiling to boiling over. Like, my temper is not where it needs to be, and I'm trying to keep it in check, but it's hanging on by a thread. So do not, just know what you're walking into when you come home.
At least you give them a heads up.
I try. And that's even the same thing with my kids. I try. I'm like, listen, y'all. Yeah. Y'all. Like, I am very honest with my kids about my anxiety levels. Like, if we go out, I have to explain. Like, mommy doesn't do well in crowds. I need you guys to listen more than you normally do, because my anxiety can form as anger because I can't control everything.
So I try to
over control them. And then when they do what they do best and don't listen to me, I turn into like the woman you don't want to be. You know, you're yelling like, stop it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I should... I'll not only add it to my list on my phone, but I'll add it to I need to put it on my mirror in my car.
I think it's also one of those things that this is like obviously just tipping the iceberg of, I mean, I could technically highlight all of James 1 in the concept of that he's, again, like we said earlier, he's trying to prove that point to us and show us who we're supposed to rely on. Because the other part of this, like, some people might read James or even this translation of James and say, well, I can't, there's no way I can do this because I'm never going to be that perfect, like you said, Christian or that perfect person. Mm-hmm. And so I fail at this chapter altogether. You're right. You do. The concept is, who are you seeking when you're failing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you are having that bad day or you're having that moment of anxiety or you're having that moment of frustration and even the moment of joy, who are you giving that to and sending that to? You know, like that, like for me, that's why I like James so much, is because even when he's convicting me, he's also showing me exactly who to go to at all times. And that's what I need, because I need to remember, yes, I got to strive and endure and persevere and run the race. But I want to know who's with me that whole time. And that is God. I mean, that is God alone. So
it's like, you can do this, and you're not alone when you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you're going to fall here, but look who's here to pick you right back up. Like, look who's here to help you get back on the right track.
Yeah.
You know, and I also, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, you know, deceiving yourself. Like, that's like a full on, just take a look in the mirror and make sure you're doing what you're telling everybody else to do.
Yeah. And that shows that we're supposed to take a responsibility. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not just here to listen. We have to take the responsibility and do what God tells us to do, what the word says to do.
Yep. Yep. Yep, I agree. Like, verse 26, you know, it says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, I was like, oh. That was me in the car literally 20 minutes ago. The words are cutting me off. Okay. But again, he also says, but bring it back to me.
Yep.
And I'll help you get through that. But that's how convicting James can be. Like, 1 minute you're like in the car cursing someone out, and then you go, oh, yeah, I'm not supposed to do that. Okay. Sorry. Keep trying to do better. I'm not going to be perfect at it, but I'm going to keep trying to do better.
I'm getting there. I've been better so far this year. It's only January still, but I'm getting better.
Can't rush into these things.
No, I mean, I got to break the chain in, but it takes a little bit. It's a bit. No, I agree. That one was, I was just about to say almost exactly what you said. So that's perfect. Like, that's exactly it. It's like, it's, my tongue gets me the most in trouble, and it's not even, and I'm not a confrontational person, so it's not like my tongue and I'm berating somebody else. It's my tongue, well, to their face, I guess I should say, you know, I'm just sitting, you're in the car and you're like, why aren't you going? Come on, let's move. Why was that a choice? You know, or even with work, like, really, did you read my email? You know, like, do you see what I said? You know, like, it's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. And it's when he's talking about anxiety and getting stressed out, that's me in the mornings. And what comes out of my mouth is not pretty. It just isn't. It's the bad that comes out the easiest. And my poor kids. Well, I get me, all the time. Why can't we cuss? You do.
Yeah, that was always my parents' favorite conversation with me, too. But anyway.
My grandmother to this day will say that the S word isn't a cuss because it's actually a thing. Because I remember I asked her about it once when I was little. She goes, that's not a swear word because that's an actual thing. She goes, and I'm like, okay, cool. So she didn't say it around me much after that, but she still wanted to point out that it wasn't really a cuss word.
I appreciate that explanation. It makes me feel a little bit better.
I wish that one was my go-to. It's not. So,
yeah.
So I might be able to justify it a little bit more, but that one's not my go-to, unfortunately. Anywho,
I do like at the, like, you know, the bottom of 27 when it talks about remember the orphans and the widows, because I feel like that piece is lost in today's society. You know, used to you would go visit people. I do home health, and I can't tell you how many people tell me I got sick and no one from church came to visit me. You know,
when my grandma was passing, that was, people came at when they found out she was passing, but But the whole time that she, you know, just when she had to stop going to church because she couldn't drive and all that, she had nobody. Nobody. When my grandpa passed away a few years before that, nobody reached out to help her. No meal trains were provided, nothing. And yeah. I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Like that. So your church isn't being the church. I mean, and that's, you know, that's what you're saying. It's,
yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. I feel like our church does a really good job at it because we're involved. We're involved in that. So I feel like we do it. But I know we're probably still missing a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I think it's hard not to. I mean, I'm at a pretty large church and we do our very best, but then we find out a month after someone's passed that they were sicker for longer than we knew, you know? And, and so you go, okay, what can we do better? And I think as long as we're striving to do better, as church or as individuals, at least it keeps it in the forefront of our head and heart. Because we used to beat ourselves up real bad at Christ the King when we would miss opportunities. And I'm like, we can beat ourselves up because I'm good at that. I mean, it's like I have a degree in that. Yep. But we can beat ourselves up or we can be honest and say, yeah, we messed up. Let's do better. Let's go forward. Let's figure this out. Let's do better and do what the Lord called us to do, which is to take care of the people he puts before us.
Yeah.
And it's tough though. There's a lot more we should always be doing.
Yeah. And I'm not very good at the whole, I'm better at berating myself and I don't give myself the same grace that I give everybody else.
Amen. Yep.
You know, and it's just, I know I'll like, okay, I'll strive. We'll be better. You know, I'll be better at this part of my relationship with this person or this and that. And I'll try to be better. And it, you know, and it's just, that's the hardest part is realizing that you're still learning no matter what age you are. You always are learning something.
Yeah.
Yep. If you're not seeking to constantly grow in some fashion in your faith and in that faith journey, which also just includes your daily life journey, you know what I mean? Like whether it's your job, you're learning more at your home, you know, your relationships with others or whatever that is. If you're not constantly striving and going forward and trying to figure it out, what are we doing?
Yeah.
So. All right. Anything else in chapter one?
Nope. All right.
I mean, there's tons more. We could go verse by verse, but anyway. Right.
We're just going to go through James 1 today then. And then we'll just go back through each verse. Let's have a chat.
Next time, I think we missed something in James 1.
Right, yeah, exactly. Going back. You know. All right. So in James 2, I'll go ahead and I can read that one. And then it says, my brothers and sisters, do not show favoritism as you hold on to your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and a poor person dressed in filthy clothes also comes in, if you look with favor on the one wearing the fine clothes and say, sit here in a good place, and yet you say to the poor person, stand over there or sit here on the floor by my footstool, haven't you made distinctions amongst yourselves? And become judges with evil thoughts. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? Yet you have dishonored the poor. Don't the rich oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name that was invoked over you? Indeed, if you fulfill the royal law prescribed in the scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. If, however, you show favoritism, you commit a sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Excuse me. For whoever keeps the law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking it all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. So do not commit adultery, but you murder, you are a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are to be judged by the law of freedom. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is without clothes and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, stay warm, and be well fed, but you don't give them what the body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works. You believe that God is one. Good. Even the demons believe, and they shudder. Senseless person, are you willing to learn the faith without works is useless? Wasn't Abraham our father justified by works in offering Isaac his son on the altar? You see that the faith was active together with his works, and by works faith was made complete, and the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believes God and it was credited to him as his righteous, as his righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You will see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, wasn't Rahab the prostitute also justified by works in receiving the messengers and sending them out by a different route? For just as the body without spirit is dead, also faith without works is dead. Boom.
As I say, what, we don't need to say anything else.
And done. We'll see you next time.
And podcast end.
Boom. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I love it. Yeah. I love it.
I mean, there's no explanation needed. It's just, he says what it is.
It just goes back to what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. We can do better. And yes, we don't need the works to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. That's not how we get there. But why don't we do the good works and the good things he puts before us to say thank you for the gift you've given us of salvation and eternal life? It's a joyful response.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Doesn't mean it's gonna be easy. Joy's not easy. But why aren't we doing it?
And if you have true faith, then the works should just come out of you. It should just happen. Yep. Because we're striving to, like you said, to please God.
Yep. If you're being Jesus, you need to show Jesus.
Yeah.
And a lot of times your testimony, your faith is shown more than heard.
Yeah.
Because you can tell somebody about Jesus till you're blue in the face, but if they don't see you walking that walk and they don't see that your faith is put into action, what good is it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you're just sitting there judging someone and you know, just lecturing at them, they're going to turn away from you. They don't want that.
Yeah.
I know I've heard many people say that just pushed me off. You know, I've had a fellow that I worked with who told me he kicked someone out of his house because of that, you know, but how you react to something, how them being able to see God in you goes much farther.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think about my husband, Brian, who works at a prison. Yep. He can't go around talking about his faith all day long. A, he doesn't have time. Brutal honesty. He doesn't have time to do that. But the way that he treats and interacts with inmate or fellow coworker or an outside person coming in, the way he treats them and acts with them is a testament to exactly who God's created him to be. And that's fair and equal and kind and good. Even if you're a prisoner, you know what I mean? And everybody there knows exactly that he's on a faith journey because of the way he treats and works with everybody. So that to me screams volumes about what we should be doing to anybody. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So you kind of have to sometimes, and I find myself, you know, when you're in certain situations where you know you're outnumbered faith-wise, you know, you have to put it in a way where I always had, sometimes I'm like, what if I'm the only person, only Christian they'll ever know that treats them this way, like that treats them with respect and listens to them and accepts them and shows them, like, who else is going to show them Jesus if it's not me?
Yeah.
You know, may be the only Jesus they ever see.
Yeah. And yeah. I don't want, I don't want my Jesus to look like the televangelists on TV. Yeah. You know, that's not Jesus to me. That's you. I don't know. That's just blanket preaching. You know, it's, you want, you have to be out there doing what he did, having dinner with everybody.
Yeah.
You know,
which doesn't mean you don't, you know, just agree with everyone. You don't, you don't
agree.
You stand on the truth, but you don't have to be like, you're going to hell.
Well, my job's not to judge them. I mean, that's I agree with them, but I'm not judging, because there's only one person who's the judge.
Yep, exactly.
And I'm going to let him do his job. I'm going to keep doing what he's asked me to do, which is to love all people. Mm-hmm. Loving all people does not mean agreeing with all people. But it means I treat you fairly and equally, because at the end of the day, it's about your relationship with the Lord and nothing else. And I don't need to tell you you're going to hell, because I might go to hell because I do something bad too. I mean, like, we're sinful human beings, so I hope I don't. I mean, I don't, that's never my intent, never my heart to do something bad, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm often not the judgment guy. That's him. So.
Yeah. And I think that's hard. I think that's hard to balance, because you don't want to. You don't want to be an aggressor, for sure, but you got to still let them know what the truth is.
Yep.
But you got to not tip it where you're judging them, you know? So, I mean, and in that case, you know, I just try to turn it back on myself. I'm like, well, you know, this is a sin that I have problems with, but because Jesus, he covers, his righteousness covers me. You know, God forgives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. He's, everyone always wants to put levels on sins and levels on judgment and levels on, like, on everything in life, right? And,
yeah.
It's just not the way it works. Yes, I believe what I believe. Like, my sister and I have conversations about this all the time. She thinks one way, I think one other way, but we are civilized enough and understand each other and love each other enough that even if we get a little moment of heatedness, you know, frustration, anger, whatever that is, we can within a minute or two obviously be right back to normal, and it doesn't change. It might frustrate us, but we don't change loving each other and loving who each other is. And it doesn't change our opinion either, because I'm not here to change her opinion. I might be here to give her my opinion that might inform her someday, and her opinion might inform me someday on different things. Again, I'm not here to judge. I just want to, I want to be truthful to who I think God's called me to be.
Yep.
And so, got to figure it out. And sometimes the best thing to do, this is great advice I got from a pastor once, is if you don't know what to say at the moment, pray about it. Right there.
Yeah.
And you can even say, I don't know how to respond to you right now. Please understand that my silence is not condemning, condoning, anything like this, but I just need to take a moment and say, I want to come up with the right words to share with you, because I want you to know who I am in Jesus, but I'm also not trying to condemn you or what, you know, whatever that situation might be. And it was one of those, like, it's that stop and listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry kind of thing that he talks about in James 1. It's take that moment, reflect, and then I can.
Yeah.
Then I can go action forward.
And pray for the wisdom, like you said, because he'll give it to you when you need it.
Yeah, always does.
I read, and I probably brought this up before, but I read a book, and it's called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And I originally picked it up because it was recommended to me. And then I thought it was going to be like an in-depth look at the Gospels, you know, kind of going through like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, just kind of looking at those separately. But what it was a book about Christian hospitality, how you show Christianity by being hospitable, by opening up your doors, allowing everybody to come in. And it was this woman just sharing her own journey of how she came to know Christ because a pastor invited her in. And regardless of her lifestyle, her choices, he just showed love. He never condemned her. And she goes, that changed my life. you know? And so she ended up, you know, she became a Christian and then, you know, got married, married a pastor and did the same thing. So their house, as she goes, is always full. She says, we always have people over and we always do, because our job is to show everybody who he is.
Yeah.
You know? And, it was just, I mean, it was very opening. And she said that she, you know, she was having conversation with one of her friends who was still from like her old lifestyle and everything, her old, everything that she had done before. And she's like, well, her friend said, you know, like, I don't think we can be friends anymore because you don't agree with me, you know? And she goes, we didn't agree before on everything, but we were still friends. What's the difference now?
Exactly.
I don't have to agree with you to accept you. Like, we don't have to be in agreeance. I'm just going to love you and accept you. And that's my job. That's my job. And I was like, yes, you know, that's exactly, that is showing Jesus. That is showing God. That's being, having your works. That's putting your money where your mouth is, you know, that's showing that you believe what you're preaching.
Yep.
Yep.
And I know I've fallen short at that. Like, I know people, you know, you get to that point where somebody just really ticks you off and you probably, my face says it probably way before my words ever will. You know, and so I know I fall short in not loving somebody the way that I should be loving them and not being hospitable in the way I should be hospitable to show Jesus, you know, but it's just, it's always, there's a balance. Yeah. You know, I have to learn. I'm still learning. Like we talked about earlier, I'm still learning, you know, you know, you have to always just strive to be that. And we're all going to fall short at other times, but it's just a matter of making sure that you're available, A, to change, and B, to just show it.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, and I think that comes back to, you know, it's just trying to grow closer to God. It's trying, you know, staying in the Word, staying in prayer, that He could change your heart to help you be more hospitable, more loving, more listening, more, you know, and it, you know, in today's society, you don't want to offend anyone, you know, you, but you know, sometimes the truth will offend someone. So that's always I struggle with, because I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, but it's, you know, we do have to tell the truth, but it's like you said, coming out, it's okay that you don't agree with me, you know, but I do have to tell you, and I still love you.
Yep.
Yep.
This doesn't change us. This just, I'm just letting you know my mindset.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and there are certain people that you also, sometimes the Lord also says, this is not your battle to pick with this person, and it's okay to remove yourself. It doesn't mean you don't keep praying for them.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you don't care for them still. But you just might not be the one that's going to be there to continue the relationship or go forward or see them go forward. And it's also learning that that's an okay thing. It doesn't make you bad. Doesn't make you a failure. Doesn't make them a failure. It just means it's not meant.
Yes.
Not meant to be. And that's okay.
Exactly.
Because we're not meant to save everybody. We're not meant to save anybody. That's Jesus. But
exactly.
But.
And then it all comes down to prayer. Like you said, you keep praying for them, you know, and don't give up on them. I've had someone in my life before who I've prayed and prayed and prayed for. And it's like, I gave up on them and I stopped praying for them. And then like years later, you know, I don't really know where they are in their faith walk, but being just them admitting that there is a God is huge, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those, I'm like, I still need to pray for that person. Don't give up on them, because God can do anything.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen to that. Drop the mic, Keisha.
It's, you know, it's that your plant. It, your job might not be to watch everything grow. Your job is to either plant, to water, to sow it, to just make the trench that the seed goes in. You know, there's so much that goes on a faith journey of somebody who's just not ready, you know, who's not just a Christian, you know, so you have to step back and just be like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But if I'm not going to sit here and you don't want to shove it down their throat, because then they're just going to close it down. They're closed.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so then we just take it back into Titus, which I've gotten made fun of for, because I love this verse. You know, we talked about that. You know, it says
two
three
times.
Yeah, is it two or is it three?
It's just two.
So two times, you're done, out, and walk away. You know, you tried.
Yeah.
You did what you needed to do. You did what God, you knew you're doing what God wanted you to do. You know, and you're done.
Yep.
Shake off the, take the dust off your boots and keep walking.
And yep. Keep going, because it's time mm-hmm. to keep going.
Let somebody else.
The next person might be the one that gets them, or the next, you know, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Add them to your prayer list and just keep showing them who Jesus is without having, without preaching.
Yep.
Yep.
Because actions speak louder than words.
Amen.
Faith without works is death.
There's just so much. I mean, we could literally spend a show on each chapter, I think.
Yeah.
You know, and it would just be, if we really wanted to do a deep dive, which maybe, you know what, maybe later. Yeah. But
might be like Daniel, where we need to go back and revisit things, because and the truth is, because there's still so much there too.
Yeah.
I think every book of the Bible in theory, except Leviticus, we could go back into it several times.
Well, that's why it's a living book. There's always
the word is living and breathing. Yep.
So next time we'll go over chapters 3, 4, and 5 in James, but now, then we'll talk to you guys next time.